few years ago, I was driving on the interstate, and have you ever gotten to like some bad traffic before? And eventually you go from like 65 miles per hour to basically a crawl where it's 5 miles per hour. This happened to me a few years ago when I was driving from work, and it was a very interesting experience because usually I pass by this one spot that I've driven past for years and years and years, and there was this one time where I stopped at this one area. It's a nice peaceful area, there's a nice creek on the side. It looked like it had like gotten there because of some rainfall that had happened a couple weeks before. Anyways, I never would have seen this spot if I ever wouldn't have slowed down. Now, at the time, I was kind of upset because I wanted to get home to, you know, from work, wanted to be able to do the things that I wanted to do. But because of that thing in life that happened, I was able to see the beautiful thing that I had missed for so many years. Actually, I take that back. It may have been there for years, but the point is basically, because life slowed down for me, I was able to see that beautiful thing. Life is getting faster. I don't know about you guys, but you know, whenever I was a kid, I mean, we didn't have Twitter, we didn't have cell phones. I mean, good grief. I mean, what, 12 years ago, I lived perfectly fine as a human being without a cell phone. I could breathe, I could eat, I could do whatever I want. Now, if I don't have my cell, you know, do you ever do this? You brush your hand against your pants pocket, you ever do that? Just to make sure it's there? It's like, oh, okay, it's good. It's there. You know, I can go out now. I can be with the world now that I have my cell phone. You know, the world can now accept me. I do that all the time now. I'm sure everyone else is smiling, probably thinking the same thing too. We need our like electronics. Not that it's a bad thing, but we become very dependent upon them. Technology's become very faster. If you don't get a message back from Facebook within about, if you don't get a like on your Facebook within a minute, you probably think your friends hate you or something. It's just things have gotten so fast, and I, you know, it's good to work. You know, Randy's message a few weeks ago talked about work ethic and doing a lot of things, and I think that is fantastic. On the opposite side, and I think you'd agree with this too, there's a balance in life too. You can't have all work and no play. Basically, if you do that, then you're just going to wear yourself out. I think that in this day and age, we can be overworked and overstressed more than so many other ages that have been in the past. We don't have time to process the thoughts that we think. We were bombarded with information so much that we basically can't. It's actually unhealthy for our brains. I've done research that our brains are not developed or designed to actually take that much input at one time without actually processing it. So there's always going to be things for us to do. The focus of this message is basically going to be how, even though it's good to be busy and there's always stuff to be done, it's always good to kind of slow down a little bit and focus on the things that we really need to focus on. What I like to focus on are two things: how to slow down in life and the reasons why. First one is taking time for prayer. Now, Paul had this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 or 17. He said, "Pray without ceasing." Now, Paul was not saying to pray 24/7. I've heard of some people, as I was doing research with this, there's some people that pray for like 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. I mean, that's just astronomical. I mean, they're like amazing. Don't get me wrong. I wish that I had that time to do it, but I don't think that this is what Paul is saying, that we have to spend every waking moment of our lives, you know, praying. I think it's definitely good to pray. But I think what he's speaking at more is like an attitude of prayer. You know, what is our thoughts on prayer? Is it something that we get around to every once in a while, or something that we do whenever something bad, you know, whenever tire goes flat or something bad happens, then we pray? Or is it something that's like an everyday thing, something that we've inculcated in our lives on an everyday basis? You know, Joshua is the perfect example of this in Mark 1, verse 35. This is what he was doing before I read this passage. Is he had just the day before, he had previously went with a huge crowd of people and was casting out demons and was healing the sick. Now, I can imagine that must have been very draining for him, very exhausting, being with that many people, doing all of that for them in that one day. And this wasn't just one day. He was constantly doing this. People were coming to him all the time. It says in Mark 1, verse 35. And this is the next day afterwards. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Two things I want to notice here. When did he pray? He prayed in the morning, early in the morning. In the morning. And where did he go? He went to a solitary place. I think that this is two things that we can kind of grab from this passage. Whenever we, like if I need to go and get my teeth worked on, or if I need to get my car worked on, what do? I call the guy up and I make an appointment, a certain day, a certain time. We do that with everything. You know, if there's something important we want to do, or a vacation, what do we do with a vacation? We spend months, years sometimes working on a vacation. You know, we're planning to go to Israel. And there's a lot of stuff that's going into. Where do we want to go? What do we need to do? How much are we going to spend? There's like, you know, lists and lists and lists of things we need to do. Same thing with your vacations. You're thinking, okay, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do on this day, on this day, and this day, so you can get the most out of it? Do we do that in our prayer life? Do we say to ourselves, okay, today I'm going to go to this place because it's a very nice place for me. It's very peaceful. And I'm going to go at this certain time. Or maybe it's the evening. Maybe it's the morning or something. Basically, I think that it's important for us to always set a time and a place for us to pray. Almost like when you go to work, you got to wake up in the morning and go there. Same thing with the prayer life. I think we should set, Yasha says the example in here, and we should do likewise, that, you know, his was in the morning, and sometimes it's actually after he got away from the crowds. He was always trying to find opportunities, basically, to pray. And I think we can do the same thing, too, of setting a time and place for ourselves to pray. You know, like I said, Yasha could have spent all his time healing people. Yasha, of all people, could have been the busiest man in the world. There's always going to be people that need help. I mean, he could have constantly been doing stuff, but he always found time to pray because he wanted that connection with Yahweh. He wanted that relationship with Yahweh. He knew that it was so important. And if Yahshua, of all people, the best, you know, the holiest man in the world, the most righteous, if he had that, wanted that connection with Yahweh, his Father, then us, of all people, really need to try to follow that example because, you know, if he needed that level, then, man, we need to work ourselves up to that level just to be able to have that same commitment that he had. You know, prayer helps us to focus on Yahweh rather than what's going on. Usually when I go to Yahweh with my prayers, I usually tell him my problems that I have. But you're speaking to the creator of the universe. I mean, it's almost like a calming experience. It's like, yeah, you've got all these problems that are on your shoulders, and you know, you think that the world is going to collapse upon you, but then you go to the one who can actually help you, and it's just such a relief to know that he can. It reconnects us with Yahweh, and you know, even though whatever going is on in our life, we know that he's there to help us. Another great way to slow down in life is to meditate on Scripture. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 2. It says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night." You know, reading it really is not enough. I've been trying to do the schedule of reading my Bible every day. Sometimes in the past I've forgotten about it, but I've been trying to be pretty regimented about it. But you can get to the point where you just read something. Have you ever done that where you read something? Like, when I was in tech school, and I was reading all these boring tech books and stuff about things that just make you fall asleep when you talk to other people about it, I would read, like, entire paragraphs, and then I get to the end, and I'm like, no idea what I just read. No idea. And sometimes I think we can do that in the Bible. You know, we can get so programmed to, you know, okay, I got to read this, you know, this is something that I need to do or something I want to do. And instead of actually thinking about the passage and actually reflecting upon it, it's much different actually reading something and actually reading it and reflecting upon it and thinking about it. It's something you have to do, you know, every day. He talks about in this passage, meditating on it day and night. You know, it's different. You know, Eastern philosophy says that when you meditate, you're supposed to empty yourself and take everything out of your mind and not think of anything. Well, what this is saying is actually filling your mind with good things, thinking about good things. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4, thinking about good things and righteous things and nice things, you know, meditating on the law day and night. So I think that is another great way to slow down a little bit in life, because it's tough to actually think about stuff. It really is. Henry Ford, I think Henry Ford, not like I want to quote him a whole lot, but I think it's when he said one of the toughest things a person could ever do is think. It's true, because you can just be fed information and not actually have to reflect upon it, or you can actually make it a part of yourself. Another great way to slow down in life, this is the third one, is actually learning patience in your speech. This is two sides. This is speech with waiting for Yahweh, and also speech with other humans, other people. First aspect, waiting for Yahweh to speak. I mentioned about prayer. You know, a lot of times, whenever I pray, I really would like to have that happen right away. You know, I really like to just pray, and then presto's ammo, there I have what I would like to have, and you know, all my problems are solved. But that's really not how Yahweh works. I think of like Abraham. Whenever, you know, when Yahweh came down and he told him that he was going to have a son, Isaac, and I'm sure Abraham was amazed. He's like, wow, I'm going to have a son. This is great. Maybe, you know, I'll have him like next year. He'd wait 10 years. 10 years for this promise to happen. I mean, do we have that kind of patience to wait? Not that Yahweh wants us. I mean, Abraham was a special case. He was a special kind of guy. But are we willing to wait for the things that Yahweh wants us to wait for? He works in his own time. We have to wait for him to speak, you know. Sometimes I do wish that, you know, prayer does seem very one-sided. Sometimes you think, you know, you're saying words, but you don't always hear words coming back to you. Sometimes I really wish that I had some voice from the heavens saying, you know, you're going to get it, or something. I don't know. Just something to tell me that I know that he heard what I said. But that's not how Yahweh speaks to us. Sometimes it's, you know, it's through someone else, or sometimes it is an inner voice within our head, or sometimes it's a scripture. You know, whenever Eliah was in the the cave, the instance right after. This is after he fled from Jezebel. Right after they had that showdown with him and the that priest. Whenever he was hiding in the cave, and Yahweh was asking him why he was there. If you remember the story, there was a huge earthquake that happened, and he was like, no, Yahweh's not there. And there was this huge fire and all this wind and all this great commotion going on outside. But Yahweh wasn't in any of that. He was actually in this still small voice, that small voice that he could barely hear, but he knew that that was Yahweh, because he knew that, that's not how Yahweh works. Yahweh doesn't always work in shaking up your life. Sometimes it's the small things. Sometimes it's, you know, a scripture that you read that really, you know, touches your heart, or, you know, a comment from someone or a friend or something. That's how Yahweh works. It's that smallness. The other aspect is listening to others. And I think this is a challenge, I think. Listening is actually a skill set. Being able to listen to other people is a skill that you learn. It's actually... A lot of people think, okay, you're just listening to the person, and it's very passive. Listening is actually very active, because you're listening to what they're saying. You're trying to process what they're saying. You're trying to create your own thoughts in your own mind and tell them something that's meaningful and nice to them. What I have done, and I'm sure everyone else has done, is a lot of times they're saying something to you, and meanwhile, your mind is thinking of something so eloquent that, you know, the Greek philosophers of the ages will be so jealous of what you just said. That's what we're thinking of. We're thinking of something that's going to be so amazing that they're just going to be blown away by it, instead of actually listening to what the person says. I've done it. I can't speak for everybody else. I'm sure you have too. But I know I have, and I feel bad whenever I do after I've done it. You know, try to listen to others before try to listen before you speak. Don't be quite so rushed. Actually, think about what they said before they said it. I know I get into that problem, because my mind sometimes works faster than my mouth, which is why I sometimes talk so fast up here. Try to slow down a little bit. Actually, look at the other person. That's a great way. Like if you're I know as a guy, I know guys have a problem with this. They'll like you know. Like, okay, my sister sometimes have conversations with me, and I'm playing the guitar. Don't talk to me when I'm playing the guitar. I will not be able to talk back. I'm doing my one thing. I'm listening to what you're saying, but my mouth is not going to be able to work at all. I know another great thing for guys, too, is you know, actually stop what you're doing and actually look at the other person, what they're doing, what they're, you know, actually look at their face. I'm sure the same thing for women too. I only know for myself because I know that's an issue that I have to get over. You know, don't be so rushed in life. You know, Proverbs 18, verse 31, it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So take your time with people. People do really want to hear what you have to say, and they would like for you to hear what they have to say too. Another aspect is learning patience, not only in our speech, but also in our actions. Like I had mentioned before, with waiting for Yahweh, sometimes things take a little bit longer. Sometimes it's better to slow down a little bit, not make a rush decision. I actually didn't have this on my slide here, but Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." You know, sometimes people think that if you don't make a snap decision, that you can't make a decision at all. Or if it's not like that, then, you know, you look at, like, the movies and stuff, and you see, like, the Clint Eastwoods and all these other guys, or all these other people where they make a snap decision about the safety of the world, and everyone's like, "Oh, wow, they're so amazing." Sometimes it's not always like that. Sometimes it's good to slow down in life and actually pause and actually ask Yahweh for guidance. It's not all about, you know, doing things all rush. Yahweh wants us to trust in him. He wants us to look to him for guidance. He doesn't want us to just go off and just do our own thing. He wants us to make decisions, yes, but he also wants us to look to him for guidance to make the best decision. Another great way to slow down in life is actually giving things up in life. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 6, it says, "A time to keep and a time to cast away." You know, like this jar in this picture here, there's only so much it can hold, which is probably why that guy's pouring it out. Same thing with our lives. There's only so much that we can hold in our lives. There's only so much time that we can put into our days. There's only so much time we can do towards certain things till we're basically just overwhelmed with things. Sometimes we need to reduce in our lives. Sometimes we need to cut away some things that really aren't effective in our lives. There's always going to be something to do, but it should never be at the expense of the important things. We should always look at our lives every day on a weekly basis. Sabbath is a great day for this, a great day for reflection, looking back in your week and seeing, you know, what improvements can be made upon it. See what things that you want to keep in your life and some things that you would like rather cast away that were maybe a waste of time or you can better spend your time other ways. Why should we slow down is the last aspect here. It really rejuvenates yourself, you know, three ways spiritually. You know, the Sabbath is a great example. I really don't know how people in the world do it without Sabbath. I really have no idea. I mean, Sabbath, I love, you know, resting and just reading my Bible and just reflecting, and it's really my favorite day of the week. It's really amazing. I'm sure everyone else can say the same thing too. But you need that time to spiritually refresh yourself. And there's a reason why Yahweh gave us a Sabbath. He didn't just give it to us because he didn't want us to just not work. He gave it to us because he wanted to reconnect with us, to spend time with him. This is like spending time with Yahweh Day. You know, this is the best day of the week. He wants us to be rejuvenated, become spiritually more refreshed. It also rejuvenates you mentally and physically, slowing down. I was reading on MayoClinic.com article, and they're talking about how chronic stress, I'm not going to read the whole article just for time, but chronic stress actually does put your health at risk. You know, you've always heard about, you know, anytime, have you ever heard, like, people go into the doctor, and they come out, and they're like, "Oh, my doctor said I need to cut my cholesterol, and I need to cut my stress levels or something." Stress is usually one of the big things that doctors want to try to get out of your lives. You know, our minds, like I said, are not designed for that constant input, the constant things that are bombarded with us all the time. We have to process. So slowing down is a great way for ourselves spiritually and rejuvenating ourselves and also mentally and physically. In conclusion, you know, when you eat, you really need to have some time to digest. You're not, you know, we're about to going to be eating lunch soon. But your plate has only so much and your stomach can fill only so much. And you don't just keep on eating for forever. You basically reach the point, And usually, when I reach that point, I'm suffering because I eat too much after on Sabbath. You need time to digest. You need the time. You eat the food, then you digest the food, and then you can eat some more food. It's a very simple process, and it's the same thing that we can do in our lives. You know, we take stuff into our lives, good things, and we process it, rejuvenate ourselves, almost to digest the things that have been going on in our lives. It's a way to help us to draw closer to Yahweh and help us to pause and think and reflect on life. And may Yahweh bless you.